It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Trillions of cicadas are due to emerge in more than a dozen states, including in southern Wisconsin. Science outlets like BBC Wildlife call it Cicadageddon. We get a preview of periodical cicadas and what to expect, and you can call in with a question. Share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Hillstrom is a forest entomologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and part of the DNR's Forest Health Team. Mike, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, set us up with this preview about this emergence, the cycle, how many more cicadas than usual will come to the surface in southern Wisconsin?
Yeah, so exciting times for entomology fans in Wisconsin. For the first time in 17 years, we will get an emergence of cicadas in southern Wisconsin, and that'll go through Iowa, Illinois. Cool thing this time around is for the first time in 221 years, the brood to the south that kind of starts in central Illinois will actually, and then go south and all the way to the East Coast will come out as well. So that's where you get into trillions of cicadas across, you know, many states across the eastern U.S. So it's going to be exciting to see it. In Wisconsin, we're going to have the 17-year cicadas. The ones to the south are 13-year cicadas. So that refers to their, you know, to their life cycle. So they're underground feeding as nymphs for 13 or 17 years. They emerge, you know, as adults, mate, lay eggs, and then the cycle goes on. So
why do broods vary in length? 13 years, 17 years. There's a 12-year cycle, I think. Why the variations?
Yeah, so, you know, that's still kind of up for debate in a lot of ways as to exactly how those distinct timelines, you know, sort of evolved. But the main kind of purpose overall of having that long of a life cycle is, you know, predator avoidance, really. So if you emerge in the trillions, there's really no chance that, you know, any sort of predator is going to be able to, you know, to eat that many insects. So it's a great predator avoidance strategy.
Why is northern Wisconsin less affected?
Yeah, so, you know, it probably has to do mostly with climate. So the 17-year broods are, you know, the farther north broods, whereas the 13-year broods tend to be farther south. So it probably, like, you know, most things with insects, just has to do with temperature. So in Wisconsin, well, for cicadas in general, you know, they come out, these periodical cicadas emerge when the soil temperature at about 8 inches deep gets to about 64, 65 degrees. So, you know, southern Wisconsin hits that threshold at, you know, kind of the right time for these cicadas to emerge.
Oh, okay. So there is something that really happens in the environment. So cicadas know when it's time, when the time is right to emerge, and that rhythm, you said, really has to do with soil temperature?
Yes, exactly. So it has to do with that. That soil temperature seems to be their primary cue for when they know to come out. How exactly they know it's been 13 years or 17 years since, you know, the last one emerged is sort of still up for debate, I guess. You know,
you're not getting much out of your cicada interviews these days. I don't know.
It's a little tricky to get them to, you know, I mean, they're very loud. They're very talkative, right? But they don't seem to want to answer our questions directly.
Especially those males. What is up with the buzz? How do they make that sound?
Yeah, so they have this really cool structure called a timbal organ. And it's basically, And actually, their bodies are kind of hollow at the back as well. So it's like this resonating chamber. So they can make this loud sound. And, you know, any individual cicada is not necessarily that loud. But when you get, you know, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, millions of these things all in the same area, and they all start producing that sound at the same time, that's where you get this really intense, you know, sound. If you stand under a big tree that has, you know, thousands of cicadas in it, you're probably going to want some hearing protection. It's going to be real loud.
I wondered, how do the females respond?
Yeah, so the females don't have the same kind of sound organs, but they can flick their wings in a way that makes a kind of a response noise that so that the males know where they are.
That's so interesting. Remind us where cicadas live and what makes a good cicada habitat?
Sure. So yeah, so cicadas need kind of deciduous forest. And there's some numbers out there. They actually need a pretty good chunk of forest. So if you look at the map of where cicadas are in Wisconsin, it's kind of across the southern two or three tiers of counties in the state, but you don't really see any over in like the Milwaukee area that's more developed. So they need a good chunk of deciduous forest. And that's because during that 13 and that 17 years, the 17 years in Wisconsin, those nymphs are underground feeding on root tissue. So they need, you know, you need a lot of space, obviously, for millions and millions of cicadas to feed on root tissue. Now, the cool thing is, you know, this is not something that's damaging the trees. So even though they're feeding on that root tissue, it's not something that's harming the trees. So this is really just a cool event that we all get to experience.
We're talking about cicada mania with DNR entomologist Mike Hillstrom, fielding your questions. You can join in questions and comments about the cicada emergence, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So a large number of the people traveled from Wisconsin to other states to get better views of the eclipse on Monday. Do you expect people will do a similar thing, trek to central Illinois where the double brood emergence in the trillions is expected?
Yeah, so I definitely think there'll be a fair number of people that are going to be interested in this. I mean, it's, you know, this is going to be a super rare event. Again, these two broods only come out at the same time every 221 years. So, you know, even rarer than an eclipse on that note. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. They really don't actually overlap in the same forest much. So if you were to take a trip from, let's say, like Chicago and start going south through Illinois, you'd actually just keep kind of hitting different species. And so the other interesting part of this whole cicada thing is that there's actually three species of the 17-year cicadas and four species of the 13-year cicadas that all join in these different broods. So it's this really complicated kind of interesting where you have multiple species, even on different, you know, kind of time cycles, all emerging synchronized. So fascinating from a scientific perspective.
And that's exactly when I checked out. I said, okay, leave it to the entomologists on that one. I was like, who, what, where?
Yeah.
So with you in the forest, will you be adding more fields time into your schedule, or how will you mark this time?
Yeah, so, you know, my job in the summer is being out in the woods and you know, helping landowners out or helping foresters out, you know, diagnose tree health issues. So as far as that goes, you know, we don't expect this to be a major health issue for trees. What I will say, though, is we do have a spongy moth outbreak potentially going on at almost the exact same time. So it's possible that you could get places where you have caterpillars defoliating trees, you have cicadas buzzing around doing things. So it could be a really interesting year from an insect perspective of just what's going on out on the landscape. So I will definitely be out there checking out what's going on and kind of keeping track. And, you know, anybody who wants to join in the fun, UW just put up a new website about cicadas yesterday. You can read up there. But there's also a new tracking form to help us kind of get a better idea exactly where all these emergences are occurring. So if anybody's interested, you know, that's a new way you can kind of help us track where these cicadas exactly are in the landscape.
Oh, so there is a citizen science component here to all this cicada action.
Exactly. So, yep, brand new, hot off the press as of last night. Yeah, cicadas.wisc.edu. If anybody wants to check that out, I definitely encourage that. And yeah, that's where you can find the citizen science component as well.
And so how long will the cicadas stay? What is their duration usually?
Yeah, so any individual cicada will only live a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, but they come out over a period of about 2 or 3 weeks. So we'll have them around for roughly 4 to 6 weeks. It'll probably, start based on historical records, maybe the last week of May, and go, there'll be a few hanging on maybe towards the end of June yet. So late May, early June are going to be the prime time to get out and see the cicadas.
But I feel like in the dog days of summer, I hear cicadas. Is that because of a different emergence, or is it because maybe I'm, of where my location is? I just feel like I've heard them later on in the summer months.
Yeah, exactly. You got that right. So there are what we actually call annual cicadas or dog day cicadas that are out every year. So they actually have a multi-year life cycle as well, but some of those are out every year. And so those cicadas you hear in, August and September, those are a different set of species of cicadas. So if anybody's curious the difference, those annual cicadas, they're pretty big. They have green wings. These periodical cicadas that come out earlier are actually smaller. They have kind of orangey red wings, and they have these bright red eyes. So pretty distinguishable as far as, the individual species. It really actually comes down to the calls they make to be able to distinguish them. They look so similar in most cases. But yeah, we have these kind of two different types of cicadas. So Wisconsin, all over Wisconsin, we see those, annual cicadas every year.
I suppose I won't put you on the spot to make those calls.
Yeah, I have not practiced that one. That would be a good trick to learn though. So maybe this summer, as I'm out in the woods and I hear them, I'll work on that and we can do a revisit of that.
Hillstrom, a forest entomologist with the State DNR, our guide to the emergence of these cicada broods, 13, 17. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's a double brood year for cicadas. That is rare, as we've been talking about. Parts of southern Wisconsin and the northern half of Illinois will be in prime spots to hear the songs of periodical cicadas. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can share your insights at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Mike Hillstrom with us, forest entomologist with the DNR's Forest Health Team. Let's bring in Duke in Viroqua. Duke, hi. What would you like to ask?
Yes. Good morning. I'm a trout fisherman in southwestern Wisconsin, and I have fished in New Zealand, where at certain times of the year, cicadas are a major food source for the trout population, and they're widely used as a fly to imitate them. Should I be tying flies to imitate this emergence in southwest Wisconsin? And if so, how big?
Duke, thank you. Mike.
Yeah, so I will say any wildlife basically that can get their hands on a nice tasty cicada is going to do it. It's a pretty tasty snack. So absolutely, I think that would be a great thing to try out. The cicadas are these periodical cicadas are probably roughly about an inch. So I started that size. I do think to some degree the vibration, that kind of sound that they're making with the wings is also really attractive. When you get this, kind of vibrating thing on the ground, I think that's really attractive to, birds and probably if they get near the water, fish as well. So, I can't say I'm an experienced fly fisherman, but I would say absolutely give it a shot. I think the trout would love it.
Duke, how does that sound? Go for it. Go for it.
That sounds great. Then I'll tie them at a number 6 to a number 8. I don't exactly know how to do red eyes yet. And when I put them on the water as a dry, then I'll probably twitch them a little bit. And we'll see what happens.
Sounds great. Report back. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, experiment in action. Duke, thank you so much. Well, let's talk a bit about eating cicadas. Some people eat them. If you want to make a meal of cicadas, the Food Network advises cooking them like seafood. There have been recipes floating around for cicada soups and salads. Cupcakes are in the mix, cocktails. So do you have any recommendations for eating cicadas?
So, you know, this is one of those personal things. I equate it to, you know, eating mushrooms. You know, there's always a risk in eating something that's, you know, out on the landscape. So I've seen some reports in some places because they're underground for, you know, 13 or 17 years, they can accumulate some mercury or something like that. So I guess as with all things, you know, take precautions. But there's certainly lots of recipes out there. And, you know, anything in moderation is probably okay. But again, that's really an individual decision. You know, I've eaten crickets and grasshoppers and mealworms over the years. So, I like to tell people, you know, insects are basically no different than eating a shrimp or a lobster. It's really the exact same thing, but somehow we find one a delicacy and the other one scary. So get out there and experiment. Absolutely.
Can you easily distinguish cicadas from other insects?
Yeah, cicadas are pretty obvious. They're pretty good size. You know, there's not a lot of other things that look like a cicada. So, you know, again, get on a website, you know, check out a few things, but, they're definitely one of the easier insects to identify.
And you mentioned earlier that cicadas pose no harm. Trees are fine. So should pesticides be used against cicadas at all?
Yeah. So really there's almost no situation where we would ever recommend using, you know, insecticides on cicadas. You know, the off chance, you know, there's a wine grower and the grapevines are getting attacked, you know, maybe in that situation, but really physical exclusion does the trick. They're so big that it's easy just to physically exclude them with some bird screening or something to that effect. So yeah, we don't recommend using any insecticides at all. Just if you do have the only situation where like a yard tree that's maybe 3, 4, 5 years old, where the branches are kind of just the right size for the cicadas to lay their eggs, those are the situations where you might want to protect that tree a little bit, just because it's young and it doesn't have a ton of branches. So if a lot of cicadas were to lay eggs in that same tree, you could get some significant branch damage. But again, just physical exclusion is really the easiest way to deal with it.
Talking with DNR entomologist Mike Hillstrom. Call in with questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike, with these cicada maps kind of popping up around all over the place, how accurate is this tracking and mapping?
Yeah, so this is one of those interesting, I was chatting with a coworker yesterday, and the last time these came out in Wisconsin, and she had some maps of photocopied plat books with, you know, highlighter on them. So let's just say we've come a long way in 17 years on the technology front. You know, we have apps out there now that can track all this stuff. So while the historical records are, you know, probably mostly pretty good, these populations do change over time. So one of the kind of famous studied spots down in Illinois, where they estimated over 1 million cicadas per acre, there's actually no cicadas at that site anymore. Just land development and some other issues. So, you know, while these cicadas do tend to pop up in the same places over time, there's certainly changes across the landscape as well. So I think it's going to be really cool with, you know, kind of the new technology in everybody's hands. Everybody has a smartphone where they can help us track, you know, these populations now. So I suspect we'll be getting quite a bit of new data this time around.
Let's go to Amy in Madison. Amy, hello.
Hi there.
Hi, we can hear you. Yeah.
Great. I had a question. My daughter is getting married on June 15th in Elkhart Lake at 4 p.m. It's an outdoor wedding, and we're wondering if we have to be worried in any way about the cicadas.
Should they worry, Mike, about the sound of those cicadas at an outdoor wedding in Elkhart Lake mid-June?
So there are definitely some cicada populations down that way. So Lake Geneva is sort of the known hot spot, one of the known hot spots. So it's definitely possible you could have some cicadas, but from a, you know, from a risk perspective, they don't bite, they don't sting. You know, even if they flew into you, they're very kind of, I equate it to like a chunk of popcorn. They're just kind of light. They're not going to hurt in any way. So, yeah, the sound could be in the background, but I would say you can go out there and find people that are actually planning their weddings around having them in places with cicadas. So that's kind of a novelty thing. So, yeah, I don't think you have anything to worry about. You know, it could get a little loud if you're right under a big group of trees. You might have to make a slight adjustment in that case. But beyond that, just enjoy the spectacle.
Okay, we only have seconds left here. Spongy Moths, just a quick hit here. This spring, what are you anticipating as they start to hatch and feed on trees and shrubs?
Yeah, so we set a record last year with over 370,000 acres of defoliation across the state. So the best thing I can say is let's hope we keep this rain coming. Fungus and a virus that kill the caterpillars, which get promoted by kind of rains in April and May. So keep the regular rain coming, and hopefully that helps resolve the issue for us.
Anything homeowners can do as they see them?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different management methods. It really depends if you're talking about individual trees or, you know, all the way up to forests. Kind of similar to cicadas, I say I'd recommend going to spongymoth.wi.gov.
Okay.
We just revamped the entire website, and it's got every detail you could ever want to know about managing spongy moth. So great resource for everybody to take a check out.
Mike, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Mike Hillstrom is a forest entomologist with the DNR's Forest Health Team. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.